I want to start with a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 15. In the 33rd verse, it starts out by saying, "Be not deceived." Do you know you can be deceived? It's something that's mentioned in the scriptures on various occasions. Kind of like that, putting the responsibility on us, telling us, you be not deceived. One scripture says, little children, let no man deceive you. The obligation of this is squarely on the reader to whether or not you're deceived. But I hope we all realize that we ought to always be concerned about being deceived. Because it is something that is prevalent to be deceived. We see the history of the church and can see that people can be deceived. One scripture says something about him that thinketh he standeth. Take heed lest he fall. And when you think you stand the strongest, take more heed lest you fall. Because you can be deceived. The forces out there are not bigger than our Lord Jesus. He can defeat every force and has defeated every force and will defeat every force. As long as we're hooked to the one that defeats the forces, we'll do well. But it's really necessary for us to always remember that I've got to be connected to the Lord, or I will be deceived. If I don't keep myself in the Lord and follow the Lord in the dictates that the Lord would have for my life, I'm subject to deception. Don't be deceived. Stay close to the Lord. Don't be deceived with this. So this scripture says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You deceived about that? Scripture says don't be. If you feel like that you can, by your wits, your fortitude, your strength, your power, involve yourself. See, this is more than just, there's a principle involved here. It's more than just your communications with people. Evil communications or getting involved in things that aren't right. When you feel like I'm strong enough, I'm good enough, I've been around long enough. I had someone say to me one time, they was involving themselves and so they was going to different places and involving themselves in different things. And I wasn't critiquing them about it. They was telling me that somebody told them, you better be very careful about what you're associating with. And the expression to me was, as they told me this story, well, I guess I'm mature enough to handle some things. And when they said that, I said the very statement means they're not mature. The very lack of caution in a statement like that proved the maturity they had. Within a couple of weeks, they had gone. They had backslid from that situation and they had was gone away in that period of time. If you feel like you really stand, and I hope we all are standing, but I think we ought to all be very cautious that there is influences that is geared towards tearing us down. There is a lot of influences in the world today through the media. Through the medium that the devil has brought, the music industry, for instance, They have a lot to offer out there, but I'll challenge you about how much you involve yourself in that. And you may say, I won't be affected by that. But the scripture says, don't be deceived about what power that it has in you, for you. There is an entertainment world out there. Well, we do entertain ourselves. I mean, entertainment, I find this entertaining. I find a lot of things entertaining that I don't necessarily have to do. But we want to make sure that our entertainment's a wholesome entertainment. Something's an edifying entertainment. Something that's encouraging. Something that's peaceful. Something that the scripture says on these things, think. Think on the things that's lovely and good and of a good report and virtuous and those kind of things. And, well, we ought to search for those kind of things in our lives to entertain ourselves in life. The things of that, we ought to be very cautious about the things. Because the scripture says, be not deceived. Now, don't be deceived about this. Evil communications corrupts good it does. Matter of fact, it does. It isn't instantaneous, but it begins an effect in people's lives. The old statement is that two dry logs will burn up one green one. You get you a good green log, just go cut you a tree and try to burn that log. Get you a few matches and try to light it, some paper, whatever you want to do. You won't be able to burn that green log. But you get two of the same size good dry ones and get them burning, put the green one in there, and the two dry ones will burn the green one completely up. That's what this is referring to about this evil communications is the effect of evil in this world will get you after a while if you give yourselves to it. So the admonition of the Lord here is don't be deceived. Paul says that don't be deceived, folks. Well, I don't want you to be lost. I don't want you to lose out. But if you start involving yourself in these things, you will be. You may have a wholesome. This wasn't talking about unsaved people. It wasn't talking about people that wasn't living for the Lord or didn't have care of God. That's exactly who it was talking to. It was talking to those that did have a care and had given themselves to it. And he warned them, if you don't want to be burned up, if you don't want to lose what you have, you guard yourself against evil communications. Watch yourself against the influences of this world that is geared to change your heart and mind about God, about yourself, and about your fellow man. Guard yourself about how you see things and what you look at things. I think it's Proverbs 4:23 says something like, keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it is issues of life. Guard your hearts, because if what you put in there is going to make a big difference in what you do and how you think about things and those kind of things. And as we look around us, we know that this is true. We've known of many that had a good run, haven't we? We've known of many that was on fire and had all the care and concern. What happened? I never supposed myself better than those that went before me. As a matter of fact, I'll say this. Many of them, if not all of them, was much more talented than I am. They had much more going for them than I do. I look at that and say, and they failed away, then what possibly would keep me? I'll tell you what the answer, though, is. It's being hooked to the Lord. The default of the human life is deception and sin and loss. Jesus is the buffer between those things. So be not deceived. Evil communications, it does corrupt good manners. Of course, that goes into personal relationships, particularly what it's talking about. Beyond the principle is the very specifics of it is he was warning against giving yourself over into the company of evil communications. You hear it long enough, it'll numb you. You know, we're to be a sensitive people. to evil. We're to be sensitive about the things that are around us. And I'll be honest with you, in our modern world, there has been a real uptick in the last few decades of evil, I think, or open evil, you might say it. And there were some things that was just kind of shocking to me that started coming up that I thought, surely it won't take hold. But it did take hold. And it's kind of prevalent today. And you know, I just don't quite think with the same shock I used to. I've heard it and seen it and heard it. I don't have the same kind of sensitivity about it that I used to have. But I want the Lord to help me to look at it always in the right view. Always ask the Lord would have me to. I think we ought to love everybody always. God does, why can't I? I don't think it's my responsibility to go around and forcefully make people to do anything. God don't do it, why should I? I mean, God doesn't dictate to, He allows humans to do wrong. Well, it ain't my duty to go and stop them by force from doing wrong. God wants to influence, that's what God does, try to influence by His goodness, by His Spirit, for them to change their minds about it. So that seems like the work I ought to be doing, if that's what the Lord does. I don't think I ought to shoot and blow up people to try to make a cause out of it. I don't think I even need to go picket and do all those things to make a cause about it. I don't think I ought to block traffic or anything like that. I don't think we need to hog tie. I ain't even sure I ought to give a lot of effort for law, to change the laws about it. God could stop everybody from doing evil if He wanted to. He never did. He always said it's your choice and you'll pay for it at the end or you'll be blessed. Here is the choice that I lay out, but I want to try to influence you by something else, something that's better. And so He says, awake. Awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness. And you know what that says? It says that there might be some sleeping going on. And it also indicates that that righteousness isn't something that we just automatically do. It isn't what we do naturally. We have to awake to it. In other words, have a care. Have a concern. Are you concerned about your soul tonight? If you're not, you're asleep. Are you concerned about the work of God? If you're not, you're asleep. He says to wake up to righteousness. That means you got to be alert to it. Care for it. Work hard for it. Be diligent for it. Put out the effort for it, because it don't fall in your lap. It don't just happen. You have to do it. You have to care for it. You have to pray for it. You have to fight the enemy for it. You have to stand up for it. You have to do it. Because it's not an automatic. Wake up. Waking up to righteousness means that I look and say no to that stuff. No to that stuff I'm flirting with. No to that stuff that's encroaching in. No, I got to wake up. That's not going to cause me to be righteous. That's changing my mind. That's causing me to think the things that I shouldn't think. I'm doing a thing, it's a worldliness that is prevailing. This entertainment and all that stuff out there. Folks, that isn't geared to holiness. That isn't geared to a closer relationship in Christ. It isn't geared for good marriages. It isn't good for wholesome families. It's geared for destruction. That's what it's geared for. So wake up and realize, I've been sleeping. It's a perfect deception place. I've been sleeping. I haven't been taking care of the things that I need to take care of. I'm going to have to wake up to it and get alert and say, no, I'll put a restriction right there. No, Lord, help me in this area. Wake up. It says, to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Wake up. There's people that don't know about the Lord. if you're being deceived, you ain't going to be able to tell them. You're not in the place to do the work of the Lord. So these two things connect together. Wake up. Wake up to say, no, I can't hang around them anymore. I know they're it's people, but the truth of it is Scripture is saying, two dry logs will burn up one green one. And if you willingly are giving yourself into a place, you're going to be influenced by it. And you might not even smile at the first time they tell that dirty joke. Now, I don't listen to that stuff. You might say, come on, let's go. We'll do something else. You do it long enough, and there'll be something funny. There'll be something that you'll have to give into when you're told that you're a fuddy-duddy or you're old-fashioned or what's wrong with you or the influences that are out there to change us. We're to have association with folks, people. We're not supposed to be in a commune. But when we wake up to righteousness, we guard our souls. Let there be enough green. Let there be enough green logs to smother out the dry ones. Let it be green enough that there's not, that it isn't influencing us. That it can burn and burn, but it won't burn us up. That we can have more influence than they have. Because the Lord is, He says, I speak to your shame that some don't have knowledge of God. What you doing? What's your concern? What are you talking about with your friend? Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the Lord. Tell them they need to be saved. Talk to them a little bit. Be involved with them. I think it's what we should be doing, but Lord help us. Don't be deceived. There's a lot of influences out there that's made. Pure and simple. It's of the devil. I wonder how many good, wholesome things Hollywood's been doing for the last 50 years. Well, there's other things out there. I mean, we can pretend to put slants on it, but I'll tell you the truth. Ungodly people don't make godly things. They just don't. I'm not the Holy Ghost. And I won't attempt to lead them. I'm just the preacher that points that way. I'll tell you about Jesus a little bit. I can tell you what the Lord wants. I doubt if Walt Disney will do it. As a matter of fact, I happen to know a little bit about it, and I know it's skewed. Oh, they can have fun little things and entertain, but isn't that like the devil? Isn't that just like him to put a little cute fuzzy something on there? But I'll tell you, you be careful. You better be very careful about deception about this, where you're accepting things that God doesn't accept. And then sometimes we look around and say, why ain't things on fire around here? What can we do to get a little bit more fire going? What can we do? Why ain't anybody really interested as much as they should be? Well, maybe there's too much of the wrong influence. Lord help us. Want to use an example. Over in 1 Kings, one of the characters of the Old Testament scriptures, a man named Solomon. Solomon was the son of David. I guess his mother was Bathsheba, I think. Solomon was on the right track. Lord comes along and going to grant him something, and what do you want me to give you? And instead of picking gold and wealth and fame or whatever you could do, Solomon, and very virtuously and very noble of him to say, I need wisdom to lead your people, such a great people. And the Lord said, since it was such a noble purpose, He said, I'll not only grant you that, but I'll grant you riches and I'll give you the wisdom that you need. And no man other than the Lord's being here could match Solomon, I don't think, for the wisdom that the Lord gave him to understand the very natures of things. You can read his writings, and he got right down to understanding the very natures of things and how they worked. And it's pretty incredible what the Lord done for him. The Lord met him a couple times and all that, But Solomon, he had wisdom. He understood the nature of things. You'd think that'd be enough, wouldn't you? You got a gift? It's not enough. I'll tell you right now, it ain't enough. It ain't enough. You got the ability to sing beautifully? Can you sing the songs? Right keys? Keep the timing? You wouldn't want me to try. I don't get it right. But can you do that? It ain't enough. I'm going to tell you, it's not enough. It's not enough to have a scriptural memory. You ever know somebody can just quote scripture? This guy come to our camp meeting one time and he liked to stand up before service and quote whole big passages. But he could do it. It was impressive for a memory. And if you're going to memorize anything, it's a good thing to memorize. But it ain't enough. It takes more than that. A lot more than that. Solomon was the wisest man, but it takes more than that. You know, really, it takes us daily being with the Lord. It takes a life with the Lord. Don't ever allow your experience with God to be a church service only, a camp meeting only. Folks, that's just the kind of the refueling station, if you will. That's not what it's about. Life is what the Lord's about. Our lives, having a relationship with the Lord is what it's about. He made a system to where we can thrive in Him in it. But it's all about Him. Many groups like to make it about a man. Some men like it to be about them. They want to stand up and they want to be noted as the man. The man. We don't have that. We never should have it. There's nobody big or little here. We use the gifts of God to encourage one another to have a relationship with the Lord. For yourself, to keep you out of this deception. Make it as hot as it can get. Do the best you can with awake to righteousness in your own soul. You'll see that it'll outdo everything else. It will outdo everything else. But as soon as there's a reversal and there's a dryness comes in, the Apostle Paul said in another place, 1 Corinthians 9, I keep my body under. One interpretation is I give myself a black eye. I beat myself down. I put the flesh down. I do whatever I can. Why? Because lest I become a castaway. After I've done all this and I preach to others the great gospel, I myself am reprobated. I myself, you know, it's not enough for me to preach. I drive all over the country. I drive thousands of miles. It's not enough. That's not what salvation is. It's something I do, but it doesn't. That's not what it is. It's about the Lord in our lives. That's what it's about. We've got to keep it about that in our lives. So here's Solomon, the wisest man. Wish I was wiser. Might help me. Wish I know more. I search for what the Lord's meanings are. I want to know what the meanings are. But if I never find those meanings, I can know Him. I know the Lord. He doesn't make me have to be super smart. He doesn't make me have to be some kind of genius or intelligent mind so I can get to Him. The simplest child can do it. He made it so simple that a child could do it and be successful in it. So here's what happened, and I'll say this tonight. If it happened to Solomon, it definitely can happen to me. It says, but King Solomon, 11th chapter of 1 Kings. But Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Amorites, Edomites, Zidonites, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Now, I don't have any way of proving this, and it's just a wonderment. And you can have your wonderments too. But he was a wise man. He understood things. But I wonder if Solomon didn't get there by degree, or of necessity, if you will, He would have had to have woke to righteousness to keep it from happening. And he didn't awake to righteousness. I don't know. There's some idea that maybe that he was a very dynamic king. They was very wealthy at that time. God had given them peace in the land at that time after the days of David and the wars. And Solomon was in a land of peace and it was very rich, very wealthy. Solomon had built a temple and it was something to behold. The Queen of Sheba, if you'll remember, traveled all those ways and to see, and she heard about the wisdom of Solomon and she went all that way. She had heard, I think, of the ascent that he made up to the temple and all the grand things of that. And they went and when they got through with it, said the half hadn't been told. Now this is incredible stuff. And the king, the people under this system are happy people. It is a great way to live. Live life. God gave all that to them. And I wonder if maybe Solomon thought that he knew he was wise enough to know these truths, but maybe it didn't apply to him. Maybe he was wise enough that it didn't apply. Maybe he thought he had a barrier between him and it. Maybe he said to himself, I can see God's reason for saying that, but it won't touch me. It won't be me that's affected by that. But just simply because the Lord's blessed me so much, I stand. I stand right in God. My father David stood in God and I do too. And there ain't nothing can move me away from my... Well, God blessed me, and the reason why I'm wise like I am is because I made such a good decision about serving the Lord. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. This is the race for the long run. The race is to be able to get all the way till the Lord says, thou good and faithful servant. This isn't just a partial race here. You can't stop in the middle. This is the whole race of it. Solomon did a lot of wonderful things, but all of a sudden it's insinuated that maybe his wives were gifts from the other kings around about him. It was a political statement. Who wouldn't want their daughter to be an influence in this great kingdom? So there was a lot of politics involved, and he was making what he thought was wise decisions for peace. I mean, who would attack them if their daughter was there? Sounds like a pretty good decision. I wouldn't go and kill my grandchildren, my children. Maybe his wisdom was working. That was pretty wise thinking on all that. God told him not to. And you know why God told them not to take in those strange people, those strange women? Because two dry logs can burn up a green one. It's because the influence of it can get to you. It can affect you after a while, and you don't even realize you've hardly been affected. It can make a difference in your life. You may say that it don't and not realize what it does do. After a while of involving ourselves in the wicked communications, we're going to be corrupted. Because God said it. That's why. Because God said it's that way. It's going to be that way. And so, here's the great King Solomon. And the Lord said not to do it, and he done it. Now listen to this. And he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. They did. They turned away his heart. Just about guarantee you Solomon never thought that was going to happen. They ain't going to turn my heart. I'm too straight. I'm too solid. Got it down too right. You know what? It's an amazing thing to me that we think the things we do, and we think as humans that I've got it all in control and I know myself real well and I know where I'm at. I'm going to challenge you a little bit. to rethink your position. Just in that matter of how much you think about yourself and what you think about yourself. I've mentioned this before, but I've heard this a lot where people say, I want to be saved, but I don't want to be saved now. I want to wait till later in my life and then I'm going to get saved. You ever hear somebody say that I'm going to get saved later in my life? You know, that's just about as foolish as it can get. Because there is no way that you can know how you're going to think and feel by then. I've seen people that I knew was raised believing in God. They believed in God. And come down to the end of their life, and I look at their lives, and they may be bedfast, or at least invalid, seriously invalid. And I look at their lives and say, there's almost nothing left of the pleasure of the flesh in their lives. Surely, they won't be saved. For what are they giving up for it? You think they want to be saved? Surely they want to be saved. Their death is imminent. That they know they're soon to go. I mean, sometimes it's hospice stuff. Sometimes it's right on the verge of that. And you say, surely there is nothing that I can see that would hinder them from salvation. And I've seen that go and them never get a mind to be saved. I questioned the Lord one time about why. It seems to me in my mind I'd run hard for salvation. Wouldn't you? And the Lord told me they don't have the mind you have for it. I wouldn't want to be in that situation, but if I'm thinking in my mind now, if I was, I'd want to be saved. I'd run hard for it. I'd say, Lord, have mercy. I'd be begging. But they don't have that mind. What happened to that mind? Evil communications corrupts good manners. It burned out. And the thought of being saved is years gone now. It's a way off in that. Do you know it's not that God wouldn't save them? But, and I don't think anybody can come to the Lord if the Lord don't draw them and bring that to them. I think the Lord would do it. I think the Lord himself's hindered by, I think he wants to talk to them. I think they've lost the capacity to hear him. I think his spirit would go and woo them, but they can't move them. Lord, help us. If that being true, then I can prorate that all the way through the experience and say you can lose your salvation sitting right there on the seat. Because coming to service isn't enough. It just is not enough. You can come and say hallelujah. And you can jump up and down and make a show, but it's not enough. You have to have the Lord. That's the salvation that he brought to us, was an experience that we have Jesus living in us. That he comes and leads and guides our lives and helps us in through these lives. Thank the Lord that he did it. Well, here's the story of a great man of the scriptures. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. Well, if I take that scripture just that way, I'm going to think that he probably resisted. I mean, just if I take the English the way it's written, when he was old, he turned his heart. Well, he didn't do it when he was young. He probably held it for a long time. Do you know you're not as... You don't have the fortitude in your old age as you had in your young age. I'm getting up till I know that. So if you all that's older than me, don't think too hardly of me here, but I'm going to tell you, you don't have the same emotional backings that you used to. It's like, you know, I have young children. The Lord's blessed me that I still have young children. But I don't need any more. I'm just telling you, if the Lord wants to do it, whatever, but I'm just telling you, you change. You change as you get older. Things are just different. You don't have the same resistance, the same fortitude. You need to be close to the Lord, and the Lord can carry you through all of it. You need to make a good background back there, but the Lord can help you through all of it. But this says when he was old, well, guess what? He still got all these wives. And they're still saying things. Oh, I know. This is what they're saying. Oh, I miss my way. I miss the way it used to be. I'm not an Israelite. Would you just let us? I mean, would you just let us build a grove? Would you let us build an altar? Would you let us build a house? We got all this money. We got more than enough money. We got more than enough to do it. He loved them. He said, I don't understand loving that many, but I mean, he did. He said he did. He loved them. They had influence on him. They burned his green log up. Maybe when he was young, he was a stronger man and he was able to handle it, but he couldn't handle the resistance. After a while, you wear down. Lord, help us. This world is trying to wear us out. Wear us down, then we just say, I don't care. Just whatever. I'm tired of fighting. Well, in his old age, he should never have married them women. The Lord told him not to. And the Lord's wiser than 100 Solomons. He told him not to do it because the end of it, he was going to be deceived. Well, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wife turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. And you can go ahead and read the number of gods that Solomon went after. I mean, it's an amazing story. And you go ahead and read the penalty. And you go ahead and read the penalties that he had for him. But it's a sad testimony of where a man got to be. And it was all because that he allowed the influences of the things that was around him to influence his life by increments until he got to the place that he could not resist the temptations that was around him. You know, the only thing that keeps any of us is the Lord. Scripture over there in St. John talks about, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. If you don't abide in me, you can do nothing. You can't bear fruit. We all understand that. You sever the branch from the vine, there'll be no fruit on it. It'll wither up and dry up and wither away. And so it is. Our connection with the Lord tonight. Be connected. Awake. Awake to your soul's need. Awake to the cause of God. Wake up and say, I've got to be proactive with God. I've got to make this go. By the Lord's help, I'm going to have to pray my way through this. I'm going to have to have God's word to resist in this stuff. I'm going to have God's heart and God's mind to help me in this thing. And if I don't, I'm not going to be able to make it. Awake to righteousness. We have a whole duty of the church before us in our time. We can look back at those that went before us, but they're gone. They're not going to rise up again to do anything. This is our part, 2019. And for whatever the Lord gives us from here on is our part to be able to make our difference in our lives. Awake to righteousness. Stand up for what the things of the Lord. You remember David? David recovered, okay? But David was in the same kind of situation. You can read about that in 2 Samuel 11. Starting with the first verse, at a time when kings go to war, David stayed at the house. David, come on, awake to righteousness. God called you for war, go fight for the Lord. Go fight your wars. No, I'm getting tired. I wonder what the situation was. It doesn't say, but if you'll give me liberty, I've been at war a lot. I'm going to send, time to send the underlings, time to send somebody else. This is what I want you guys to do. I'm going to stay here at the house. Wake up, David. Get some alert back. Care for your soul. Care for your soul. Be diligent. That's the message, folks. Be diligent with your soul. Time's running. Your clock's running. Be diligent. David gets off his bed in the evening time. I don't know. It's a rare day that Marty can get off of bed in the evening time. I don't have time to be on no bed. It's a rare time to be, but there's David getting off his bed in the evening time. And he went and seen something he shouldn't have seen because he shouldn't have been there to start with. Two dry logs will burn up a green one. The influence of the world will get you if you give yourself to it. And you know, you can say, it don't bother me, it won't touch me. Yeah, I can listen to this music they're playing out there. It's just music. You ever hear that? It's just music. No, it's not just music. It's created by ungodly people. And the influence of evil spirits is generally on it, and bad words are in it, and bad notions, and everything. There is a devil behind every tree, and there are some artists that do things, and I understand all that. I just want to say this. Don't be deceived about the influences that the world has. For that's what it's doing. It's trying to influence, and you look around and say, well, why is it the way it is? You ever wonder why? Well, there has to be some reason why people want to just shoot each other up. They haven't always done that like that. It's being more and more and more and more. Well, maybe the population's up, but I don't think that's either. I think that the fruit's being yielded of things that was sown. And the more that's being sown, the more time elapsed, the more influence of it is there, the more we're going to see those kind of things, to the point that you can't help from wondering sometimes. So you go into a crowded place sometimes. I know I do. I went into Walmart at home a while back, and there was a confrontation at the front of the Walmart there. There's a big old guy there. He had a gun strapped on his head, and they was going into an argument. And I'm standing there thinking, well, I wonder how this thing's going to end. Didn't look like they was happy with one another and things going on. And I have to wonder what's going on. There's been a lot sown. But we think that the human life is not meaningful and it's worthless. And there's no God and there's no judgment. And surely there's no hell and there's none of these things. I guess if you want to go out of here and just this is the end of everything and you're tired of it and there's nothing beyond this world. And you want to make a name for yourself, go kill a bunch of people and it don't make no difference. We've sown it. Well, it's time to reap it. David sowed. How did he get there, though? The great David. He killed the giant. He had enough that the Lord blessed him with a lion and a bear. He slew the giant. He had many victories. The women danced before them when they come back. And Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. And they gave him honor and glory. And he had lived for the Lord. And the Lord blessed him so much. And now he pulls this shenanigan. One of the worst black marks in the whole scripture is what David did. Now he recovered because the Lord's merciful, but think about where he was at in that and how did he get to such a place like that? You know how he got to such a place like that? He was king. And kings can do what they want to. So he did what he wanted to. But there's a king above the kings. There's one above all of that. And then he thinks, well, it's all hidden and covered. But guess what? There's one that sees what you do. There's one that knows everything you do and sees it and brings it out. And after all that he'd done, he was a murderer. Do you realize that? He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. It was awful, ugly, a liar and a cheat. He had all that after being such a godly man. He allowed influences to influence him into ungodly things. Now he recovered, but we can recover too. The great message of the gospel is you can recover. You can come to the Lord and you can have a new day. If you're here tonight, today, and you're in any kind of a place like that, I want to tell you that the Lord's arms are still open. He said, I'll heal you backsliding. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll change this to you. Lord, help us to realize today, if you think you stand, take heed always in your mind and know this assuredly. If I don't stay hooked to the Lord, I'm going to be lost. This isn't about my personality. It isn't about how good I can do anything. If I'm going to make it to heaven, it's because when I'm going to end this world, I'm going to be hooked to the Lord Jesus, because He's the one that goes. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.